Como belle c'è la luna, brille strette, strette come butto, belle faste già, sotto celle de Roma.
Welcome to another episode of ItalianAmericanLife.com with Frankie D, the very first Italian-American podcast from 2013. My guest today is Joe LaFonte, the president of the Lido Civic Club of Washington, D.C., established in 1929, with a mission statement reading, perpetuating the philanthropic, cultural, social, and business philosophies of our Italian ancestors among our members and our community since 1929. That's a really long time, Joe. That's a hell of an accomplishment. And welcome to the show. It's a great to have you here. And I'm looking forward to learning about your organization because, I mean, let's face it, any organization that can last we're at the 96th year, that's pretty impressive. So initially, in 1929, the primary goal was to assist recent Italian immigrants. Well, 96 years later, I'm pretty sure that the goals have kind of evolved into other things. So tell us a little bit about that. What is today's goal for the organization?
Thank you, Frank, for having me on this evening. And I was excited to be invited to talk with you about Lido. Lido has evolved considerably. When we started in 1929 in the basement of Holy Rosary Church in D.C., it was more about bringing Italian businessmen and government officials, folks that were of the Italian descent, to come together and really help each other. Again, Washington, D.C. was not a heavily constituent Italian group at that point. So the few members that came together were there to really support each other. Over the years, the club has grown tremendously. And while that's still the underlying Italians coming together to help each other, it's become so much more. We have now evolved into a club that really looks to help people outside the club. We look to help Italian Americans in the area in need, and that can be an Italian American that might just have a hardship that somebody knows that brings them to the forefront. It might be helping Holy Rosary with anything they need. For instance, they had their mechanical system go down last summer, and we came to their aid to help them out with more than $20,000 to apply towards their repairs. But again, it's so much more because we look forward with this club. We actively, every year, the club grants and awards anywhere from 15 to 20 Italian-American students with scholarships. And it's done through a process where Italian Americans apply and they go through a process. And this past year, we gave $135,000 in scholarship awards. And in the last 20 years, we've given more than $1.5 million in scholarship money. So not only that, and not only taking care of young Italian American students, but we also look to help organizations that are in need of help. Every month, we take on a association a charity that we give $5,000 to, and we present that at our membership meeting. We do things like present to March of Dimes, A Casa Italiano Social and Cultural, DC Fire and EMS Services, All Out for Change, For the Kids. These are all different groups that work within the DC community And we help to support their drive and their mission because they do such great work. This year, we've given out more than $80,000 to these groups. So again, between helping Holy Rosary, between all of these causes, if you will, and the scholarship awards, we've given out more than $270,000 this year. Okay. And again, we are not a national club like NIAF or Sons of Italy. We're very DC metro-centric.
Tell us where are your members from? What is your home base?
Our home base is in the Washington, D.C. metro area. We don't really have a home base other than we started at Holy Rosary. We continue to go back once a year to Holy Rosary. Actually, twice a year, we do a mass for the deceased, which we just did this past Sunday, where members come and we remember deceased members and their significant others. And then we also go there for our December membership meeting. But we don't, other than that, we don't really have a building that we call home. Now, our members, it's an interesting group. We have, I'll call them hometown, DC metro area members, folks from Virginia, Maryland, DC. We have a lot of folks that are transients. Myself, I came down from New York 25 years ago. Many of the members have come either from Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, Ohio, bunch of surrounding areas, because DC is really that melting pot. It brings in a lot of people from the outlying areas. And through that, we've gotten a lot of Italian members.
And speaking of that, members, how many members do you have? Does it stay pretty steady? Do you accept new ones? And what would be the process of becoming a member?
That's a great question. So when I joined the club, we had about 120 members, give or take. We're up to 182 members. Now, our bylaws say we can have as many as 200. What we look for in a prospective member, it's a couple of things. One, it's an existing member that brings a member forward that they feel would be the right person for the club. We don't just want to take somebody with an Italian name. We really want somebody that could be validated by an individual that says, this is a person that's like us. They care about community, they care about family, they care about faith, and they love their Italian heritage. So through that process, they are brought to a meeting. Now, the one key, and it makes us a little bit different than our the other Italian clubs in the area, our members are Italian on their father's side minimally. So our club has existed we're in our 96th year, and the members all have an Italian lineage through their father's side. Some of the other clubs have it where either the mom or the dad is from Italy. We do it differently. We do it through our, my dad's from Sicily. So, but ironically, so's my mom and her side. But in the case when we vet members, that's one of the things we look at.
That's very interesting. That's a little different. But I mean, it's very interesting. I like that. Do you have many, since it's been around so long, do you have many multi-generational in the same family where grandpa was a member, the father was a member, the son's a member, and so on?
We do. And it's actually pretty interesting because we've really made a little bit of a movement to try to get more youth in. And so a lot of the members have brought their kids, and I say kids, they're young adults. And so we do. We have one member who has two of his sons as members. And so there are some generations that have, been in this club for many years.
And that's, you know what, the youth thing is it's great. And like you said, it's almost a necessity, because if we don't have young people, eventually our situations are going to end. So, I mean, even here, I'm in Chicago. I mean, a lot of our groups, that you hear them all say that it's very important. It's not easy to get the younger people, but extremely important. Tell me a little bit about, you mentioned it earlier, Casa Italiana. What exactly is that?
So we have the Italian Museum and Casa Italiana, and the Italian Museum is something that Francesco Isro, who is one of our longtime members, is ahead of, and it's an Italian museum of all Italian that has taken place in DC, and it's really an amazing place. It's on the backside of Holy Rosary, and it has everything from famous Italian politicians through any famous Italian businessmen that have been in and around the DC area since we started. And so, you know, it's something that we support as Lido, but also is also self-sustainable, where, you know, Francesco has tours and brings people through. And it's really just an amazing opportunity to kind of really understand the Italian history in Washington, D.C. Casa Italia.
It's the museum is in, I'm sorry to interrupt. The museum is in the back of the church, so it may is
right. It's connected,
part of the building. Wow!
So it's really interesting. It's on one side. You know, the church sits on a block. It sits on Third Street, and I believe F, and Casa has an entrance to it off the other side, as opposed to the main entrance to the church. And then, you know, as we touched on, Casa Italiana. You know, that's where young Italians and adults can go and take classes, and especially learn how to speak Italian, and you know, and it's set up for that type of atmosphere. So social and cultural, it's you're learning about, again, your Italian heritage.
Is it has ties to a university?
No.
It doesn't.
This is all tied in with Holy Rosary and really that there. It's not tied into any of the universities in DC.
Wow. So okay. So there's a physical part of the building that has Italian classes, so to speak.
Right.
Wow. This sounds like a great place. I love it. You have the church,
well, you know,
you have the museum, and you have Italian classes. That's wonderful.
Well, the Holy Rosary is very special to our club, and so anything to do with or connected with Holy Rosary is something that is very important to us.
Amazing. That's great. Curiosity, the name, Lido Civic Club. Do you know where the name came from?
You know, I can't answer that. I don't know. I will tell you that Lido means beach, right? And so I don't know how that ties in, to be honest, but it's been Lido for, you know, decades.
Okay, I was just curious. Membership, any difficulty finding them, or were there years where it kind of was starting to get a little bit smallish numbers, or has it always been pretty steady?
So Lido has grown, especially more recently. And I think it's grown a lot more because there was more members that once they realized what a great club Lido was, we had members bringing in prospective members every month. And, you know, we had this massive growth that took place over probably the last 5 years. I mean, we went from, like I said, when I joined, 120, to now we sit at 180 plus. And I would tell you the last probably 4 years it really ballooned. We took on a lot of members. I would say every night, the way it works is you bring in a prospective member. They come for their first meeting. The person that brought them in introduces them by name, and that's it. And they get to take in the meeting, get to enjoy the dinner. Then the second meeting, you have to go to three meetings. The second meeting, between the first and the second, they fill out an application if they're still interested in joining. And then they're vetted by our committee. And really what vetting means is our committee will meet them for breakfast and talk to them a little bit and get a little bit about their history and get a little bit about what's important to them and understand that if you come into the club, we want you to be an active member of the club. We want you to take part. We do a lot of great things in the community. And so we want folks that join to be involved. Why would you join a club if you didn't want to take part in what we're doing? So fast forward, they go to their second meeting, and then they get a chance to stand up and introduce themselves. At the third meeting, they not only get a chance to stand up and introduce themselves, they get a chance to talk 2, 3, 4 minutes about themselves, their family, where their origin in Italy. And then what they'll do is they'll leave the room and we vote on them. And it's a paper balloted vote. And our sergeant of arms leads it. And then if voted in, and I would tell you, I don't think I've seen somebody not voted in. We bring them in, we introduce, you know, we swear them in as members. We give them their Lido pin, and they become Lido members.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, have you turned away one or two due to just not being a good fit?
Not since I've been part of the club. Now, we have had to turn away, and I've had to turn away perspective, and not even perspective, but folks who've inquired about Lido. We have a website. And I'll get inquiries on folks wanting to join. And a couple of things with that. One, again, we like to know that a prospective member knows a member, right? So we don't typically take somebody in off the website. But secondly, more times than not, folks don't understand some of the requirements to become a member. Now, if somebody really expresses interest that has the qualifications in the sense of that they're Italian descent on their father's side, then you know what? One of us would meet with them. I mean, if they really had an interest, one of us will meet with them, talk with them, get to know them, have either a phone call, meet them face to face. And then look, if they're still interested and we feel like, hey, this would be wonderful for them to be part of, then yes, we would introduce them to the club and then they would go through the three-step, I'll call it three meeting process.
I like the breakfast idea because it's just a casual thing and you're just eating eggs and you're talking and you kind of get to know somebody, but it's really encouraging. And I'm happy to hear that it's almost more popular. It's on the rise because, you know, we're at a time where it's 2025 and, you know, Italian America is different. It's different than it was in 1975. It's certainly different than it was in 1929. And, it's encouraging to hear that you're on an upswing and that there's a lot of interest.
Well, what's nice is to start to see some of the younger members come, because you touched on it before. We have some wonderful members, incredible members that have been part of this club for 30 plus years. And it's amazing what they've done to create the foundation of the club. Incredible. The club has changed in many years. You know, we've become almost like a business, if you will, in the sense of, you know, financials and how we have to make sure that we're, you know, abiding by bylaws and doing things the right way. And we've grown significantly and we do give out a lot of money. So we've got to really make sure that we're doing things that, you know, if anything's ever looked under the hood, everything is good, right? So we're putting processes and things like that in place. But part of that is creating succession as well. You know, we have some great, great members that they'll be members for life. They'll stay in it. But we also know that we want to infuse support for them, because some of these guys have been here and they're doing amazing things and they're still going strong. We have one member who's been, you know, 30 plus years, and he's like my right hand guy. And I say my right, he's the club's right hand guy. Let me correct myself. He's the club's right hand guy. He does everything. And he's the guy who sends out emails at 1 o'clock in the morning to keep us updated or tell us what we need to do or tell everybody when the next meetings are. He's amazing. And, you know, again, he'll be a member for life. Our goal is to make sure we could support him so he doesn't do all the heavy lifting, you know, but he's great. And, you know, he's never going to let go because he cares that much.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. This is a lot of work, to say the least, and a lot of accounting and bookwork and just amazing. Do you have an employee, a part-time employee that you pay to help with all this?
We don't. This is all done through membership and our, you know, our executive committee, our charities. So we have Lido Club and then Lido Charities. That way, when we do the donations, it's, you know, a 503C Corp for the charities, and then we keep the club separate, if that makes sense. So there's really two entities, but, no, we have a treasurer who has been our treasurer for years. And then I have on the executive committee, I have committees and I have a financial chair. And that financial chair, his job is to do things like collect the dues. We don't have very expensive dues, but when you have 180 members, you got to collect a lot of dues, right? That keeps the club side going. The charity side is all done through donations and events that we put on. And the charity side also has, you know, heads or chairs, if you will, that have roles. And so we rely on each other to grow the, you know, the club and continue the momentum, if you will. And it's worked out well.
Oh, God bless, because it's a volunteer position. And we all know it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I mean, it's a lot of members. It's a big membership. And then the whole aspect of all this money and keeping track. So I tip my hat to you all. Are there, I'm just curious, the president, are there term limits, I should say?
There are. There are 2-year term limits. I am finishing my term. In November, we have what we call Past President's Night, and that's where we honor a significant Italian American. And you know, we've had, you know, guys like Mario Andretti that we've honored, or we've had incredible developers like Chris Clementi. We've had incredible businessmen like Vito Germanario. So we've had every year we honor at a past president's night. It's a big gala. And this year we happen to be honoring as man of the year, Anthony Capuano, who is CEO and president of the Marriott Corporation. And then at that evening, I'll actually be swearing in my vice president. So January 1, he takes the gavel, he takes the throne. I step off as more, my position then becomes I'm chair of the advisory committee. So I stay around at least one more year to be a sounding board for him. My vice president has been amazing, Michael Montanti, and a young guy, a smart guy, articulate. And I think it's going to be incredible for the club having Michael as our first chair, if you will, our president. And he's been a great vice president to me for 2 years. So that's how you do it. Every 2 years, typically the vice president steps up, but it goes through a whole voting process as well. It's not just assumed. We just, this past membership meeting, the nomination committee had the nominations, and then somebody from the floor can also nominate somebody or put their own hand up to take a position, and then membership votes. So
I understand you have some type of a newsletter or something, and now it's attached to Voce Italiana.
Yes.
Correct. Tell me a little bit about that.
It's something that we that Voce sends out to its membership and the Italian community. And it comes out, if I remember correctly, every other month. I get it by mail.
It's an actual physical newspaper?
It is. And it's
not
funny.
Just an
I have
online thing.
No. So it's interesting because we are a little old school. We in that regard, you know, and a lot of our members and a lot of our followers like newspaper. This is actually what it is. If
oh,
you can
nice.
See that.
The voice
so,
of America in the nation's capital.
It's something that one, it talks about local Italian or Italian information. It also touches on what Lido's doing. So if Lido's doing something special, there's always a section in here about what Lido's doing. And it's just, you know, it's a great newspaper. And again, it's been around for a long time. A lot of our Italian constituents really look forward to getting it.
And anybody could receive that. You don't have to be a member of the Lido.
That's correct.
I also saw that you have something called the Italian American Open.
Yeah. So we have two gentlemen that have been running the Italian American Open, Phil Finelli and Rob Buterazzi. And both are very, very good golfers. And we have a lot of our members that really enjoy golf. So they put on the Italian Open, and typically it's every June. Now, a couple of things. One is you'll never go to a golf outing and get better food. It's amazing. You walk in and there's sausage and peppers, there's pizza, there's pasta, and that's just the lunch. And then, of course, the dinner is always a very Italian-style dinner. But it's a great golf event. I mean, we really have a lot of fun with the members that play. But the big significance to it is the money that's raised from the Lido Open. Typically, all the funds go to Holy Rosary, Casa Italiana, and the museum. And it really is meant to really, really support that entity. And this year, as part of what we've given out the most, and that's a credit to Phil and Rob in what and how they've run this event. We've given out more than $50,000 to them. And it's amazing. It's a great time. And like I said, they've been doing it for years, and we'll continue to do it. I know it's Phil and Rob's passion. I hope they continue to do it for years to come. One, we have fun, but two, it really helps. It really helps Holy Rosary.
So I have to ask, how does an organization last for almost a century? I mean, do you have a little booklet, a little a guide? Because it's really incredible, and it's not easy, and times change and people change. So, I mean, what do you think that a big part of it is?
So I think when you put people that are passionate about, in this case, their Italian heritage, and care a lot about each other, you're going to find a way for things to work and continue. I would tell you, the folks who built Lido and they're caring for their Italian community is what really built it. I would also tell you, if you talk to some of the folks early on in Lido, they would tell you that they were a club that struggled financially year to year. They weren't a club that was lucrative. If they could give away a couple of scholarships a year, it was a great year for them. we've come so far, but we've come so far because Lido has not only such good members, but there's some smart people. You know, for me, I've been fortunate as president. Really, I had to just keep my hand on the steering wheel and not like go too far right, go too far left and hit the iceberg, but just keep the ship steady. We have some great people that really have continually built this club. And again, you touched on it. It's all volunteer, but because they care so much and because we as an Italian club recognize what good we do in the community, how important we are to be in this community, that's what keeps us going. And every year we do a little bit more and a little bit more, and it's exciting. And like I said, this year was an all-time high on what we were able to do for the community, and we love doing it. But we love being around each other too. We're just a bunch of Italian guys.
Very, very impressive. I'm kind of speechless. I mean, what an impressive group. And I could tell the very dedicated group. That's, you know, that's the important, very dedicated, seems very humble, sincere. The numbers are staggering. I mean, every month you give away, that amount of money is amazing. And like I said earlier, all the work. So just phenomenal job to you, to the group. I'm a big fan of Our Italian America, and I applaud you. I applaud you to keep this going. It's a great group. It's a positive group. So much work. I love that it's all kind of intertwined with Holy Rosary and the Italian American Museum and the Casa Italiana. It's great. And it's like you take care of your own. And I love that. So tell us, give us that website. So if anybody is interested, they're going to be out in DC on a trip. A lot of people go there. They want to see the museum. They want to know more about about the club. Please give us that website.
It's LidoClub.org.
Any social medias as well?
You know, we are on Facebook. We are on Instagram. We're on what's called Rumble.
I'm familiar with Rumble.
Are you?
Yeah,
we have a gentleman, Joseph Barone, who is so smart in all this social media stuff and platforms, way above me. And he gets us out there. He gets us visible to, you know, to the social media platforms.
Sounds good. Well, great job. I wish you another 100 years of success. And thank you so much for the interview. And more importantly, thank you for keeping Italian America alive in a good way.
Well, Frank, thank you. And please, if you're ever in the DC neighborhood, let me know. We hold our membership meetings the third Thursday of every month. And if you ever come out and you're in that time frame, I'd love to take you as my guest to one of our membership dinners and introduce you to the club. And again, you're going to meet some incredible, incredible Italian men.
Well, thank you. I would love to take you up on that one day. So thank you so much, and keep up all the great work.
Well, thank you, Frank. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.